Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 17 lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches. If it's easier, just note almost halfway down. Notice there's a two dots in the middle of the line. Before we begin the shiur, we have a structural note on the side under the mivneh where a crown shape is featured. We've noted Havlotas Rav Litzor Chemshecha Gemara. We're emphasizing Rav's name for the purposes of the Gemara later on, where again you'll notice another crown marking. Under our topic heading, we note Rav Noisein Rishima Shelminim Shema'arvin Velo Ma'arvin Bohen. Rav will be giving us a list of things that you can and cannot use for making an Eruv by way of food items. So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Mishmei to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei de Rav. The following was said in the name of Rav: Ma'arvin befapuin uvechal gelugois uvegudgonios avolo bechozes velo bekafnios. A number of these items, Rashi has French words and Aramaic words. The papuin, so Rashi has words that, if you understand those languages, you'll appreciate it. Galugois, so Rashi has a French word that is translated as purslain, and gudgonios, Rashi gives you a French word that could be translated as coriander, or in Hebrew, kusbar. In Gemara markings, we've mentioned many times in the past that we don't hold to translations of items that we don't have a tradition for. Rashi obviously had, he knew what they were, and he gave a French word for it. So beyond that, we don't accept, responsibility for the accuracy of these translations that we provide. So those items, the papuin, chal glugois, and gudgonios, one can use for making an eruv, but not chozes. Now Rashi says chozes is shachas shel tvua kshu yerek v'goizun oizchanoso. It's grains, tvua are things like wheat, barley, when they are still in their green or their fresh state before they've matured, and they can be cut and harvested and eaten as that way. So Rav is saying not to use the shachas for eruv, nor kafnios. Kafnios, Rashi says, tmorim rois shelo bishlu kol tzorcham. These are bad quality or poor quality dates that haven't fully ripened. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice the use of a diamond on the side of the Gemara under our mivneh heading. You can see the what we've written, that we notice that this diamond use, this explanation applies to Omid Beis. Minim Shehuskabu Shimas Rav. These will be highlighting items that were featured in Rav's list. The Kushios Al Dino. And we will be raising questions on what he taught. So now the Gemara. Uvegudgonios Mimarvin. Rav just taught that you can make an Erev with gudgonios. Is that really so? We will see shortly that gudgonios serve to have a negative effect on a man's seed, on a man's ability to procreate. Rashi says mamitin es hazera. So we have a source that says v'hotanya gudgonios, as far as that type of vegetation, merube bonim yochu. Someone who has a lot of children, go ahead and eat it. Chasuche bonim lo yochlu, someone who is without children, who has not born children, he should not eat it. V'hukshu lezera af mube bonim lo yochlu. If the gudgonios have matured, they've become hardened to the point that they now have seeds in it, so even someone who is meruba bonim, someone who has a lot of children, should not eat it. It has some type of very negative effect. Well, that having been said, could you imagine using gudgonios for an eruv? Tirgama, so we explain that which Rav said that you can make an eruv with gudgonios, ashelohu shilizer meruba bonim, someone who is meruba bonim, he has a lot of children, and the plant hasn't matured, hasn't hardened to the point that it has its own seeds in it. So the source itself said that gudgonios, someone who's meruba bonim, can eat it, provided, of course, that it's not huk shelizera. V'boyesema, another approach is la'olam l'chasuche bonim. The gudgonios eruv use could be prepared by someone, can be made for someone who is chasuch bonim, who doesn't have children, the hachazu merube bonim, because the gudgonios are fit for someone that does have children. Milotan, did we not have a precedent for this? Ma'arvin lenozir b'yayin u'liyisrael b'truma. Did we not learn this in the Mishnah, that an eruv can be made of wine for a nozir, even though a nozir is someone who's not allowed to drink wine? Likewise, an eruv can be made out of truma, even for a Yisrael, even though he cannot eat truma. Alma, what do we see? Afal gav de lo chozi lahai chozi lahai. Even though it's not fit for this one, it's fit for someone else, and that's enough to legitimatize it as being used for an eruv. Hachanami, so too in the context of gudgonios, afagav de lo chozi lahai, even though it's not fit for this man who is making there because he doesn't have children, chozi lahai, it is fit for someone else, someone that does have children. V'boy seima, a third approach to answer for Rav. Ki koma Rav, Rav who said you can use gudgonios for making an eruv, be handakuki modai. The gudgonios that are in modai are good. They are beneficial. They don't. They are not unhealthy. Now a question, and we have a diamond. We also have an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. Above, Rav had said not to use choses for making an eruv. So we ask, ube choses lo? And would Rav say that you can't use chazes for making an eruv? Omar Rav Yudah Amar Rav. And we notice how we've used the diamond, these crown marking, to show that the question is focused on Shitas Rav himself. What does Rav say? Koshus v'chazes me'arvin bohen u'mevorchen aleihen borei pri ha'adamah. These two items, koshus, we're seeing now for the first time. Rashi explains they are humlin, whatever that is. So koshes and chazes. Rashi points out that in Bovel, people ate chazes. So ma'arvin bohen, and we've used a dashed underline for that because we want to emphasize this, is you can use it for making an eruv. And above, he said no. So this is a problem. And not only that, but the bracha to be recited before eating it is a borei pri ha'adamah. Well, the question is obvious. The Gemara answers, lo kashya. Ha mekami dosa Rav leBovel. That which Rav said not to ma'ariv with it, that's before Rav came to Bovel. In Bovel, they happened to eat this stuff. But before Rav came, he didn't know that people ate it. Therefore, Rav said above not to make an eruv with choses. Ha lebosar dosa Rav leBovel. That which Rav says ma'arvin, that's after Rav came to Bovel and saw people eating it. The Gemara asks, and note, the question is a long question. The question basically is, so what they eat chazes in Bovel? Well, Bovel, Havya, Ruba, the Alma, does Bovel constitute the majority of the world? If in Bovel they eat it, maybe we'll say they do something strange. That means we're able to make a rule and say that you can use it for an eruv. V'ha Tanya, we have the following source, and this source is taught in the context of miser tithing. The emphasis in the source will be based on that which we have in our markings. you'll see the dash underlining. So now, let's see. This source, as we said, is with regard to tithing. Hapul, Vahasora, Vahatilson, Shizoron, Lierek. These are different plants. Pool and Saora. Saora we know is reference to barley. Tilson, another type of vegetation. If they were planted for eating them, Lierek. Now, eating them Yerek, like we saw before, is very likely a reference to eating it prematurely. In other words, not waiting till it's fully grown. And in their context, fully grown would mean that these are plants that one really cultivates for their seed value. For example, barley. One plants barley in order to have a full-grown stalk of grain, and the people are interested in the top where the seeds, the barley seeds are found, the barley grains are found. So one who planted, let's say, these items, pul, sora, and tilson, for eating them yerek, eating them prematurely, botlo daito etzel kol odom. Such behavior is considered void in favor of the practice of all other people. Lefikoch zaron chayav v'yarkon poter. That means that if you have something that was planted, even if it wasn't planted for the zaron is their seeds, even if it wasn't planted for that, but it was planted, as we said, for that other consideration, you'll have to tithe from the seeds. But you won't tithe from the yerek, from the called premature plant. The source goes on with tangential information. But what we have to, we'll read it, of course, but what we have to emphasize is that when something unusual is done, so it loses its significance. So that if Rav was accustomed to a world where people did not eat chazes, true, he came to Bovel, he did something odd over there, they ate it. But still, that doesn't establish the rule. We see that when something unusual is practiced, our reaction to that is botlo daito etzel kol adam. The Gemara will answer ki ko'amar Rav, when did Rav say that you do make an eruv with the chazes? B'deganu naisa. This is chazes that grows in a garden. It's something that's cultivated in a garden, I imagine, means as opposed to in fields. Under those circumstances, everyone eats it, and it's not something unusual. We skipped a section of the Tanaic source, so let's go over it. Hashachlayim v'hagargir shezoron lierek. These plants, shachlayim, Rashi has a French word, and gargir, Rashi has also a word for that. These are plants that are eaten, whether for the seed or also fresh, young. So the shachlayim and gargir shezoron lierek misasrin yerek v'zera. You'll tithe from the green part of it and from the seeds. Zoron lizera, if you planted them for their zera, misasrin zera v'yerek. You'll tithe from the seeds and from the yerek as well. And as we said, as far as Rav's din is concerned about using chazes for an eruv, for that din, which was in effect the second crown marking that we had, where Rav said koshes and chazes maharvin b'hen, that is the chazes that is grown in a gina. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, and we also use the star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to see what the Gemara is referring to. This star draws you back to that which we had placed in the brackets, where mention was made of the gargir, a type of plant. And the Gemara asks, gargir, zera gargir lamai chozi. The source made reference of tithing from the seeds of the gargir plant, indicating that it's some type of food item. Otherwise, it wouldn't need to be tithed. So what is the Zera Gargir used for? Amar of Yochanan Shekein Rishenim Shelo Hoyalan Pilpulin, early in the early times when early generations that didn't have pilpulin available. Pilpulin was a type of spice. Shochakin Oisoi U Matbilin Boy Esatzli. They would grind the Zera Gargir and dip into it roasted meat. There is a section that you can see is in brackets, and we have a long bracket a bracket length indicator, the vertical dash dotted line you can see. On the side of the Gemara, there is a starred note, Achrei Sogrim Gemara Mamshicha Ladun B'Rishimas Rav. After the bracketed section, you'll notice a diamond. Again, that draws your attention to the list that Rav originally presented. And in Rav's original list, he mentioned that you don't make an Eruv with Kafnios. So when we get to that part of the Gemara after the brackets, you'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara a double star with an indication to look at Amud Aleph. So you would go back to Amud Aleph, find the double star on the left to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you'll see on that line, Rav said not to make an Erev using kafnios, which is bad quality dates. The Gemara will ask on that in the diamond that we call diamond number 3. But before we get to that, we have a bracketed section, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a tat nosei, a subtopic that we indicate is in the sograim, in the brackets, and the topic is Birchas Hananin al Koshus V'Chazis, the brocha that one makes before eating, literally the brocha of pleasure, meaning before deriving pleasure from food, one makes a brocha, and we'll focus on koshus and chazis. The koshus and chazis were part of our discussion on Amud Aleph. This was where the second crown of that we had around Rav, where he had said koshus and chazis ma'arvin ben, and he said mevorchen alein bori pri adama. So the Gemara will focus on that issue of the bracha on those things. So now let's turn to the bracketed section. Amar Rabbi Zeira, ki havecholish. Once again, Rabbi Zeira, ki havecholish migirsei. It is told about Rabbi Zeira that when he became weak from his learning, he was very tired. Learning Torah is ultimately or maximally a very demanding activity. In other words, if one is said to be truly involved with learning in the fullest sense of the word, it's something that is very demanding. Ad kidei kach, so much so that even the greatest of our people, like the likes of Rabbi Zeira, could reach a point where they are thoroughly exhausted. Sometimes we can say this is the real test of a man. What do you do when you reach this exhaustion? So look at what our tzaddikim did. Rabbi Zeira, when he became very tired, cholish migirsei, ave ozil v'yosef apischa de Rav Yehuda bar Ami. He went and sat at the entrance to the yeshiva, to the shul of Rav Yehuda bar Ami, Omar, and Rabbi Zeira figured, he said, ki nafki v'ayli rabbonon, when the rabbis exit and enter the building, I will get up, stand up in their honor, and I will receive agro schar, reward for honoring Torah. Nofak also Yanuka de Beirav. Well, a youngster, Yanuka is a young person from the yeshiva, exited. Omar le, my agmaroch raboch, and Rabbi Zeira asked, what did your teacher teach you? Omar le, so he says, he taught me the following. Koshus bore priyadama. Chazis shakol niebidvoro. Now, we have our hands tied a little bit in this Gemara, and that is the problem with regard to the translation. So, with that handicap in mind, what we are focusing more is on the mitzias, the description of these items, in order to appreciate what the Gemara is saying. So the child says that on koshus you make the borei pri adama. The koshus grows from hizmi. Hizmi is a type of plant, and the koshus grows forth from the hizmi. The Rashi says at the top, koshus godel behizmi, it grows in the hizmi. The ein lo shorish bekakelim hizmi tzomach. The koshus itself doesn't have roots in the ground, but it grows forth from the hizmi plant. Nevertheless, even though it doesn't have roots, the koshus doesn't have roots in the ground, it nevertheless gets a bracha of borei pri adama chozes shakol niyeh bidvaro. The chozes, on the other hand, and now chozes, we explained what that was earlier. The chozes was the shachas, that was harvested grains before they were mature. In other words, it was a kind of like unusual way of eating it, unless of course you talk about the stuff that grows, we mentioned the gat nu naisa. But to we'll say to play it safe, we'll talk about the koshus, that is the chozes, that is premature. Omar Lay, Rabbi Zero says to the youngster, he says, Adirabo ibcho mistabro. Now, we're going to be using this triangle marking to highlight reasoning, svoras, for different points. So, Rabbi Zero's svora is, Hai me'aro komarbi, the chozes should get a borei pri adama insofar as it grows from the ground. It's grains that grow from the ground, simply you harvest them prematurely. So once again, hai me'aro ko marbi. Marbi means grows. The hai the koshus me'aviro ko marbi. It grows, as we said before, it doesn't have roots in the ground, so it's associated with something that grows from the air. However, the Gemara says, Vilchasa kienuka de be'rav. Dalcha doesn't follow what we just saw under Rabbi Zero's name, but rather like the child. My taima, and the inverted triangle now introduces the svora for what the Yanuka said. Hai gemar piro, the koshus is fully developed. It's called a pre. And therefore, you can say it's borei pri huadoma. Vahai, the choses, was premature. Lav gemar piri. It's premature. Umai de koamres, hai me'ara korovi, vai me'avira korovi, lohi. And that which you tried, that you, Rabbi Zera, tried to argue, that the choses, the premature grains, they grow from the ground and should have a borei pri adama, and the koshus does not, the koshus is me'avira korovi. So, lohi, that is not true. Now, we dashed underline the high me'avira korovi because we want to focus on this point. Koshus nami me'aro korovi. I will prove to you that the koshus also me'arov grows from the ground, not from, it's not a fungus type growth or some type of spore that derives or that develops from airborne microbes, but rather it grows, it's attached, it's said to grow from the ground. Okay, we know it doesn't have roots in the ground, but it grows, as we said before, from the hizmi plant. And the proof is, deha kochazinon de katlinon lo lahizmisa, if you cut off a branch from the hizmi plant, umaiso kishusa, the kishusa that was growing from it, also it dies. And if it was a fungus type growth, the fact that you cut the branch off wouldn't result in its death. But nevertheless, we see that it does die when you cut off the hizmi branch, indicating that it's not an airborne fungus type entity, but rather something that is ground related, and therefore it deserves a borei pri adama, the blessing indicating something that comes forth from the ground. Diamond number three, a reference again to what Rav had said, and we pointed out the connection by the double star to Omid Aleph. We ask, Ubekafnia say Marvin. Rav said thusly on Omer Aleph, but is that really so? Bar Tanya. We have the following Tanaic source. Now, the following Tanaic source does not talk explicitly about making an Eruv. However, in this source, we're going to see the opinion of the Tanakhama that Kafnios is something you can buy with Meiser Sheni money, and it will convey Tumas Oichlin. In other words, it's food. And we learned earlier that Bechol Ma'arvin, you can use all kinds of food items for an Eruv. So why would Rav say you cannot use Kafnios? The Gemara. Uba Kafnios Ein Ma'arvin V'Tanya. Do we not have the following source? And we've used some double underlines to highlight the terms Kur and Kafnios, which are the subject of this discussion. Kur Nikach Bekesef Meiser. Rashi explains what Kur is. If we let's read the Rashi together on the fourth line from the top. Kur Dovar Rach Anoisef Al Hadekel B'chol Shona. A dekel is a palm tree, and the palm produces shoots from the center of the tree at the top center of the tree. So, and they're softer at that point. Every year, new shoots come forth. Before the winter season, the rainy season comes, and they harden and become like wood. Kori le kur. It's called kur v'toiv l'maychol, and it's something that is pleasant to eat. So our source says kur nikach bekesef meiser. It has the characteristics that we learned about on the previous daf, namely pri mi pri vigidule karka. Now these terms we're not going to explain again. We learned them on the previous daf, but the kur has those characteristics which make it subject or a candidate for purchase with kesef, with meiser sheni money. V'ein metame tumas oichlin. They don't communicate tumas oichlin because, as Rashi says, they are not oichlin. It's an interesting situation we have here. Something that it tastes good, but it's not considered oichel. Rashi adds, even if you thought to eat it, it's still not considered oichlin. So therefore, as far as the realm of tumas oichlin is concerned, they don't convey, the kur doesn't convey tumas oichlin. The kafnios, now the kafnios, once again, are the poor quality dates. Nikhois bekesef meiser umetamas tumas oichlin. And we've dashed underline these points because this is the main problem for us. You see, kafnios are viewed as food, regular food. Why then would Rav say you can't use it for making an Eruv? We go on in the source with another opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kur harehu ke'etz l'chol dvarav. Kur is like wood with regard to all matters. Elo shenikach bekesef meiser. But you can buy a kur with kesef meiser. The kafnios harein kipri l'chol dvarim. Kafnios are considered fruits with regard to all matters. Elo shepturos min hameiser. They are not something that one needs to tithe. And the reason for that is because they're not nigmura malachton. They are not ripe. They're not fully ripened. The question, once again. On Omer Aleph, Rav indicated kafnios cannot be used for making an Eruv. In this source, we see that kafnios are treated as food, especially by the Tanakhama. So why can it not be used for an Eruv? The house marking that you see is explained under the Mivneh heading on the side. Nisyonis lahoshiv lakushya hana. We're going to try to answer the question. So you see two of these house markings, responses then to the question. Hosam, the source that said that they are metamos tumas oichlin b'de nishani. That is talking about dates that grow from a male palm. There's something called a dekel zohar. Rashi, a number of lines up, says Bedin Ischani, Dekolim Schorim, Shoysin Kafnius, Veinom Nasin Tomorum Le'olam. Some type of berry grows on these male palms. They don't become real dates. The Kafnios Hu Gemar Piron, in this Kafnios state, we'll call this berry state, that's their completion. They're finished. The Leukten Oison Benison, and they are harvested in the month of Nisan. Vahano Uchlo Ninu, that's considered food. And hence, it's Metame Tumas Oichlin. The Chikoma Rav, when Rav said that you don't make an Eruv with the Kafnios, but they call them the Kavis, Shekafti Shilin Nas and Tamorim, that's talking about the female palm tree, that its berries become full-grown dates. Hilko Hakati Lo Gemar Pri, who, therefore, using it in the premature state, is not appropriate and not to be used in that state for an Eruv. The Gemara continues. We just explained that the source that we saw most recently featuring the Kafnios as being Metame Tumas Oichlin was Nischani. Well, Ihachi, if that source is talking about Nischani, and in that source Rabbi Yehuda appeared as well, and the question that we're going to ask now lasts a couple of lines. If that's so, Behal Lemo Rabbi Yehuda Peturos Mina Meiser, would Rabbi Yehuda have said what he did? He said in that source, he also spoke about Kafnios, and he said they're exempt from tithing. Behal Tanya, do we not have the following Tanaic source? Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Huzguru Pagei by Siuni, Elulinin Meiser Bilvad. Now, we have a source here that's we're seeing out of context. Rashi provides background for the source. The background for the source has to do with Masechet Shviyos, the sabbatical year, the Shemitah year, when we say that you're allowed to eat produce that grew during Shemitah as long as it's growing in the wild. In other words, as long as it's available for animals in the field. After that point, any of this produce that you have to destroy. So, in that discussion, Pagei by Suni was mentioned, and Rabbi Yehuda says that Lo Huzguru Pagei by Suni El Inyan Meiser Bilvad. It's taught with regard to Meiser. And as far as that's concerned, so that we could just say is a separate topic for our purposes. Vahini Vituvina. Let's continue. Pagi by Suni, Vahini Vituvina, Chayovin Bemeiser. What we have to emphasize is, of course, that which we dashed underlined. In the source, it mentions Ahini Vituvina. For our purposes, this is Kafnios. And they are from the Zohar palm. It's the male palm berries. What does it say in this source? Very simply, the Kafnios Zohorim are Chayev in Meiser. And it's Rebbe Yehuda that says so. What about the source before? Go back to the house that we had. In the house number one, we said that the source above that featured the Kafnios were the male Kafnios. If that is so, why would Rabbi Yehuda in that source say that the Kafnios are potter from Meiser when you see in this source Rabbi Yehuda addressing male Kafnios in the form of Ahini de Tuvina? He says they're chayev in Meiser. Elo, the Gemara goes on with a new approach. Elo l'yolum lav benischeni. Forget the male palm berry approach. So we're talking about the premature Kafnios, the premature dates. And as such, it's not Gemar Pri. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, they are Potter from Maestris. That's what he said in the source where we double underline Kafnios, and Rabbi Yehuda said, Turos Mena Maestris, because it's not Gemar Pri, it's not fully mature. Ule'inyan tumas oichlin shiny. As far as the source that in that same source the Tanakama mentioned that they are metama tumas oichlin, so that's different. Kid Omar Rabbi Yochanan hoil v'roy lemaskon ayadeahor. Since they have the potential for becoming sweet and edible by roasting them, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said elsewhere. We'll see where that is shortly in the Gemara. Hachanami, so too with regard to our kafnios nekeva, hoil v'yochol lemaskon ayadeahor. Since they have the potential for being roasted and sweetened, so they are metama tumas oichlin. However, and here's the main point. However, regarding Eruv, they're not fit for making an Eruv. And that's what Rav said back on Omen Aleph. And the reason for that is because for an Eruv, you need to have something that's fit as it is, not something that has the potential. So, as we saw in this discussion, there are many different aspects that we associate with the Kafnios. We mentioned you can use Meiser Sheni money for buying them. We mentioned their Metama Tumas Oichlin. And at the same time, even though it has all these called food characteristics, we're talking about the female Kafnios, Rabbi Yehuda happened to point out that they're potter from Meiser. That's because they're not fully mature. They're not Gemar Pri. Why you can buy it with Meiser Sheni money and why it has Tumas Oichlin, so that's associated with the fact that they can be roasted and sweetened. What about Eruv? So that goes back to Rav on Omer Aleph. No, you can't use it for making an Eruv, and that's because they are not fit to eat as is. And the requirement for Eruv is something that's fit to eat as is, and it's not enough that it could be roasted and made edible. As you can see, there is a bracketed section, and the note that we have accompanying this bracketed section says on the side, Ein tam sograim elu kidei lidaleg. This is not a skipping type brackets. El kidei levodei shemedubar beprat stodi. Just to show that this is dealing with a side point. It's the point we mentioned that Rabbi Yochanan had said somewhere else. This idea of since something is fit to be roasted and thereby sweetened, so something is affected by that. And that's what is discussed in the brackets. Following the brackets, there is a quote from that which we saw earlier, a reference to Rabbi Yehuda and what he said regarding the kor. Now that the structure is hopefully a little clearer, we go into the bracketed section. And on the side of the Gemara, we should note under our tatnosei, a subtopic, besograyim, beinyan meisers shkedim. We're going to talk about tithing of shkedim. Shkedim are often translated as almonds. In the realm of almonds, there's something called hamorim, bitter ones, and hamisukim, the pleasant or the sweet ones. They're two different types of almond trees. The Gemara. Vehecho itmar de Rabbi Yochanan. Where did Rabbi Yochanan make his statement concerning the ability to roast the item and make it sweet? Gemara answers, Aho desanya. Rabbi Yochanan made his comment regarding the following Tanaic source. Shkedim. Now, note the colon, because this introduces two kinds of shkedim. Hamorim, and the next line, beis mesukim. So, shkedim hamorim, ktanim chayovim, gedoilim pturim. If you harvest these shkedim from the called the bitter almond type tree, but you harvest them when they are young, they're not fully mature, then they are chayev in meiser. This is a little bit, almost, it's quite, I wouldn't say perplexing, but it's contrary to what we're generally trained to think in terms of meiser. Meiser is associated with something that's reached gemar pri, something that's mature. However, in the case of the shkedim morim, if you wait till maturity, they're actually too bitter to eat. So the ketanim are chayovim, as Rashi says, ketanim chayovim mishum shu gemar pri shalahem. That's their gemar pri. Shek shedelim nasumor, because if they grow any more than that, they become bitter. So like their final stage and still be edible is when they are ketanim. So Rashi is very careful in keeping the Shkedim Hamorim Ktanim within the realm of the general rule of Meiser, that you are Mafrish Meiser when it reaches Gemar Pri. The Gdolim are Pturim. We mentioned there, you don't have to, if you have you harvested a fully grown Shkedim Hamorim, you don't tie them, they're not food, they're bitter. Mesukim, when we're dealing with the other kind of almond tree, the Mesukim, Gedolim Chayavim, Tanim Pturim. When they are fully mature, then you tithe them. When they are Tanim, they're not Gemar Pri, they're not Nigmaru, so you don't tithe them. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishum, Oviv, Ze Veze Liftor, the Amri Law, another version, Ze Veze Lechiyuv. The quote in the name of Rabbi Yossi says that with regard to the morim, the bitter almond, whether they're gedolim or ktanim, they're exempt. And another version is whether they're gedolim or ktanim, the morim variety are chayav. Now, with regard to the first version of zevzel iftor, well, when they're gedolim, they're morim gedolim, they're not fit to eat. The ktanim, they're exempt from tithing because they are, let's say, botanically speaking, it hasn't reached its full level of growth. In other words, an objective full level of growth. So he, according to this version, that's reason for exemption. Omar Rabbi Ula, Hoy Rabbi Chanina B'Tzipori, Kedivrei Omer Zeh V'Zeh Liftor. So there was this ruling in Tzipori, in the town of Tzipori, by Rabbi Chanina, to follow that approach, that when it comes to the bitter almonds, whether they are gedolim or ketanim, whether they've reached full growth or they're still not fully grown, no tithing is done. The Gemara asks, "Lamadomer zevazel lechiyuv lamai chosi." This we didn't explain earlier. Now's the time. The opinion, the second opinion of within Rabbi Yossi at the end of the source 4 lines ago, that said the shkedim amorim zevazel. Are chayav in Meisers? Why? Now, as far as the Gemara is asking lamai chazi, we're asking about the adult, fully grown shkedim hamorim. Then people don't eat them, so why would you need to tie something that's not edible? Since they have the potential for serving as food by sweetening them, but through roasting them, or is the fire. Omar Mar, and here we have a quote from that which was mentioned earlier. The star to the left hand side of the Gemara will help you find where this is coming from. We saw above a source in which Rabbi Yehuda spoke about the Kur, and he spoke about Kafnios. The Gemara is a bit perplexed because Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying the same thing that the Tana Kama said. What did Rabbi Yehuda say about Kur? So let's read the Gemara. Omar Mar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kur Harehu Ke'etz L'chol Dvarav. The Kur, which are the fresh shoots from the palm tree before it hardened, is considered like wood regarding everything. Elo Shenikach B'Kesef Meiser. Except, there is an allowance to use Meiser Sheni money that you bring to Yerushalayim, and you can buy Kur with it. Well, Hainu Tana Kamo. That's what the Tana Kama said. If we look back in that source, you go back to where Kur is featured, the double underline, and it said there, Kur Nikach B'Kesef Meiser. So what is the difference? And not only that, but the Tana Kama said, Ein Metama Tumas Oichlin. There's no Tumas Oichlin. And Rabbi Yehuda also said it's considered like wood. Wood is not Metama Tumas Oichlin. So are they not one in the same? If that be the case, so why does Rabbi Yehuda have to say anything about Kur once the Tana Kama said it already? Before we go on in the Gemara, we want to take note of the topic heading and the structural note. The topic heading is quite obvious, we're already into it. The Kur, Shel Dekel, we'll talk about Tumas Oichlin, and we'll talk about Birchoso, it's Brocha. HaGemara Shoelis, the Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Tana Kama, the Gemara's question, as we already learned, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be redundant, because he seems to be saying the same thing as the Tana Kama, Lishneam Nireh, the Kur Eino Oichel, Ubechol Zos, Nikah B'Kesef Meiser. According to both of them, the Kur doesn't appear to be considered food, but there is an allowance to buy Kesef Meiser. Under the Mivneh heading, you see Abaye and Rava featured with the bow tie, Mishivim l'she'elo hanal. They will be explaining or answering the question, Iko binayo, meaning there is a difference between Rebbe Yehuda and the Tanakama. So let's see the answer. Omar Abaye. We're at the first bowtie. Sholkoi v'tignoi Iko binayo. According to the Tanakama, if you, shoko is to boil, or tigno is to fry, if you do that to the core, according to the Tanakama, it will be metametum asoichlin. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who said it's completely wood, so it won't be metametum asoichlin. It's like, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, it's tantamount to frying a piece of wood. That would not make it into ochlin. Maskif lo rava. Mi iko lamand amar shoko v'tigno lo. Could there be someone that would say that if you took something that maybe you ordinarily wouldn't design for food, but you prepare it as such, you boil it or you fry it, it wouldn't be metametum asoichlin v'atanya? We have the following source that is something that's accepted by everybody. It says ha'or v'ashilya emetametum asoichlin. Or is skin, like cow skin, and shuya is afterbirth, they do not communicate tumah sochlin, as they don't function, or they don't absorb tumah in the realm of food-related tumah. Or sheshalko, v'shuya shechisha v'lov, and here we dashed on the line that which we have to focus on, skin or leather that was boiled up, shuya afterbirth, that you, chisha v'lov means you intended to eat it, you had in mind to eat it, mitamen tumas ochlin. Now, what we focus on is the shalkoi of something that ordinarily you wouldn't eat. It once you go through the food, the methods of food preparation, they do become tome tumas ochlin. So why would someone, as Abaye suggested, say that the core that you that was shogel tova would not metamatum asoichlin? That doesn't seem to be true. So then, that puts us back to where we began. What's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama regarding the core? Elo Omar Rava, Iko Binayu Brocha. The difference between the two opinions will be what bracha you make. According to the Tanakama, you'll make a borei pri adama, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you will make a shehakol. The itmar, and what the Gemara does is very interesting here, is after having said that that's the point of difference, it goes to show you that there is a controversy regarding the bracha that seems to continue down into Amoraic times. Kor, Rav Yehuda, there's a machlokas we see now between Rav Yehuda and Shmuel. It's also noteworthy that Rav Yehuda was a student of Shmuel, but let's go on in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Omar Borei Pri Hadama. Over the core, you would say that bracha. Shmuel Omar Shehakol Nia Bedvaroi. And explanation. Rav Yehuda Omar Borei Pri Hadama Uchlehu. It's, you make that insofar as that it is, it's something, it's food, and it's something that it grows. It's the tree that grows from the ground. It's not the fruit of the tree. It's the tree itself. Just before the branch hardens, it's something that's edible. So it's pre-huadoma. Ushul mashakol yiboro. Why? Why doesn't it get the bori pre-huadoma? Kevon shesoifoi lahakshoi. So vorchon la bori pre-huadoma. Since it is going to become hard. In other words, Shmuel concludes what he does based on the future, what is going to happen to it. Amale Shmuel l'Rav Yehuda. Now, here's a very unusual turn in events. Shmuel, who just presented his opinion, he turns to Rav Yehuda and says, Shinina, wise one, sharp one, complimentary expression, Kafasech Mistabra, like you, is most likely. Your approach. Snown is another type of vegetation. In modern Hebrew, snown is translated as a radish. I cannot commit myself to saying that that's what it is in the Gemara, though it may be that. The snown is the nature of it, if you leave it in the ground growing till its full growth, it becomes hard. and yet umivor chinon ole borei pri hadama. When people eat tznon, my understanding is they eat it before it becomes hard. People, the bracha that everyone agrees that you make on it is borei pri hadama. Therefore, the sofo lahakshos that I mentioned, says Shmuel, as a reason for shahakol is not true. Here's an example of something that's sofo lahakshos, and yet it gets a borei pri hadama. So there's no justification for my point of view. Therefore, your approach, Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, is the way to go. Because as Rav Yehuda said, that on the kor, which in effect is something that's sofo lahakshos, yet, like the tznon, which is sofo lahakshos, you say a borei pri hadama, say the same thing on the kor. Veloihi. And to keep the fun going here, it's so interesting how the Gemara, after Shmuel compliments Reb Yehuda, the Gemara says, no, I don't like the compliment. I prefer what Shmuel himself said. Tznon, I understand why there's a borei pri hadama, because nati inshi adaita de pugla, people plant it with the intention of eating it when it's still soft, when it's rach. They plant it with the intention of eating it before it gets hard. So since that's its intended way of eating, say borei pri hadama. Dikla, however, when it comes to a palm tree, lo nati inshi adaita de kura, people don't plant palm trees with the intention of eating the kura. Therefore, the bracha on the kura should be shehakol, like Shmuel. The afalgav the kalsi Shmuel Rav Yehuda, even though Shmuel, as we saw earlier, had praised Rav Yehuda, hilchas kavasei to Shmuel, halacha will follow Shmuel. Then on kura you make shehakol. Before we go on in the Gemara, we take note of the topic heading and the nosei and mivneh that you note at the side, and we also indicate that this goes until daf chof tes amid beis. There will be the use of a double underline quite a while as we go on in the Gemara. Shiuron shalminim shoinim le'eruv. These are quantities for different types of food items. How much of them is necessary for making an eruv? Gufa. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, koshus v'chozes ma'arvin bohen, umevorchen aleihen borei pri hadama. If there's any doubt of where this was said earlier, because gufa represents a quote from something mentioned earlier, use the markings. On the side of the Gemara, you see a triple star and an indication to go back to Omen Aleph to the left hand side of the Gemara text, and you'll see where this quote comes from. So Rav Yehuda, quoting Rav, had said that koshes and choses is something that one can use for making an eruv. And what else? Umevorchen aleihen borei pri hadama. Koshes bekama, quantity wise, how much koshes would be considered the amount which is known as mazon shtei seudos, the amount that one would eat during two meals. So what's considered two meals worth of koshes? Kidoma Rav Yechiel, as Rav Yechiel says, kimlo hayad. Rav Yechiel says his din elsewhere, so hocha nami, so to hear, kimlo hayad, a handful. Choses bekama, how much choses, which was the premature tvua. Answer, Amar Rabo bar tuvio bar Yitzchok, Amar Rav, kimlo ozilta diikri. The Rashi explains the size that's found in vegetable clusters. Rashi says, uses a French word for it, and he says, agudos yerek shekorchen hoikorim. Farmers, as they bunch vegetables together, they bunch them in a certain standard size. That's the amount of choses that would be fit for an eruv, which, as we said before, was the amount that you would eat during two meals. Mozon shtei sudos. Amar Chilkiya bar Tuvia, ma'arvin bekalia. Rashi says regarding Kalia is Kelach Shel Esev, it's the stalk of a certain type of grass, Vikoshikates, it's as hard as wood. So Rav Chukia says you can use Kalia for making an Eruv. The Gemara says in Tamiha, but Kalia Salkadaitoch, to use that, it's like wood, it's some, you can't eat it, and an Eruv has to be food. Elo Biyarka to Kalia. We're talking about the greens, the leaves of the kalya, the green part of the kalya, which is edible. The kama, how much of that? Omer Yechiel, as we saw before, he was quoted, now he says, this is the source, kimelo hayad, a handful. Rabbi Yirmiyahu nofak l'kiraisa. Rabbi Yirmiyahu went out to check his fields or his grains, bo mine, and when he was out there checking his properties, they asked of him, mahu l'arev bepulin lachin. Can one make an Eruv out of fresh pulin type of vegetation? Lo havi biyada, he did not have an answer. He also the Beis Medrash Amrulei, when he came to the Beis Medrash, they told him, Hochi Amar Rav Yanai, thusly says Rav Yanai, Ma'arvin bepulin lachin, one can use pulin lachin as the food for an Eruv. The kama, how much of that would be the mazon shtei sudos? Amar Rav Yechiel, kimelo hayad. Once again, a handful. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a Tatnose, a subtopic, and we call this tradin. Tradin is another type of vegetation, and the Gemara discusses it. Omer of Hamnuna, Ma'arvin, betradin chayin. One can use raw tradin for an Eruv. The Gemara says, Eini Gomer of Chisto, Silka chaya, Kotil, Gabro chaya. Now the term Silka is interchangeable with tradin, otherwise this wouldn't make any sense. And Rav Chisto says that fresh silka or fresh tradin kills a live person. It's something like poisonous, if you will. How in the world could you imagine using that for an Eruv? The Gemara continues at the top of Chof Tes. Hahu, the boshil v'lo boshil. That's an undercooked tradin that could kill. Apparently through maximum cooking or extensive cooking, whatever poison or venom was in this plant would be neutralized. Iko di Amri, another version. This is the Bay's version. We had an Aleph on Amid Aleph at the bottom line. So another version is Omer Rav Hamnuna, Ein Ma'arvin Betradin Chayin. One cannot make an Eruv with the Tradin Chayin. The Omer of Chisda, in accordance with Rav Chisda's teaching, Silka chaya, kotil gavro chaya. That the fresh silka kills a live person. Ah, v'okach hazim v'ko achli v'lo maisi, but we see people eat it and don't die. The more answers, hasam, that which we said that you don't make an eruv from it, and apparently that which is dangerous is b'boshu v'l'boshu, something that's undercooked. Omar Rav Chisda, tavshil shil tradin, a dish made of tradin, food made that's let's see, cooked tradin, yofel alev, the toiv linayim, the kol shekin b'mayim. It's good for the heart, good for the eyes, and all the more so for one's intestines. Omar Abay, who the Yosef Abay Tofi v'ovid tuchtuch. That's provided. It sits Abay Tofi means it sits on the stove. V'ovid tuchtuch is a type of onomatopoeia. It's a sound that indicates boiling. It's a boiling sound. So that means, for our purposes, it means it's something that's very well cooked. So then, as we said, if it's very well cooked, in line, of course, with everything we've been saying till now about the trade-in, then it is beneficial. And of course, it's under those circumstances that you could then use it for making an Eruv. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.